Okay, good afternoon, everybody. So someone asked me last week, Talmud wanted to come up with a new date idea. I guess he was running low on ideas, so that must mean it's going well. And he decided that that it would be a fun thing to do to take the girl to a shooting range on a date. And he wanted to know whether there's an issue with a woman shooting a gun. Is that a problem of klei gever on an isha for a woman to shoot a gun? I mentioned this shaila in shul this past Shabbos, and a fellow came over to me and told me that his wife is from Memphis, and once a boy flew into Memphis to date her, and what's there to do in Memphis? So she took him to a shooting range to shoot guns. And then it occurred to me, if there's a problem of using weapons and shooting weapons, and that's an issue for klei gever, you know, one of the more popular date places is axe throwing. That seems to be one of the things that people do. Isn't an axe a weapon also? So is there an issue with going axe throwing on a date? So let's go through the sugi a little bit of weapons and women and come to some halacha conclusion. There's a Gemara in Maseches Nazir and Daf Nun Tes. The Gemara quotes a machlokes between the Chum and Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, where the Chum say that the entire iser of lo yilbash ish simas isha and is only sheyeshev v'yeshev bein anoshim v'isha simas ish v'teshev bein ha'anoshim. That the iser is only if the woman not only wears men's clothing, but then sits among the men, and the man not only wears women's clothing, but sits among the women, meaning full disguise, that they try to, you know, get into, like, the opposing locker room, so to speak, you know, by disguising themselves in as the other gender. However, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says in the Gemara in Maseches Nazir that minayin shalotete isha beklei zayin lamelchama, how do I know a woman shouldn't go out to war with weapons? Tamalomer lo yeh klei gever al isha v'lo yilbash gever simlas isha shlo yisakin ish b'tikune isha. That men shouldn't do feminine things, women shouldn't do masculine things, and therefore women should not go out to war with weapons. So even if you don't go as far as trying to sneak into the opposite locker room, according to Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, it would still be asur. How do we paskin in this machlokas? It's a huge nafkamina, right? If you paskin like the sheet of the chachamim, then the isser is very, very limited. Whereas if you paskin like Reb Elazar ben Yaakov, it seems like a much broader isser. You don't have to be in full disguise. So the Rambam paskins in Hilchos Avodah Zarah Perek Yud Beis Halacha Yud, lo ta'adi isha adei ha'ish kegon shetasim barosha mitznefes o kova shetil b'shirion chayotzibo. A woman shouldn't wear armor or other masculine types of clothing, and a man shouldn't wear big day tzivonim, v'tilei zav, golden chains, and the colorful clothing that women would wear. Hakol k'minaga medina, what exactly is a masculine type of clothing and a feminine type of clothing? It really depends on society. You know, that gets decided by the culture in which you live. V'isha ada adeya isha v'isha adzei adeish chayav malkus, and you chayav malkus for it. The Kazmish explains that the Rambam is passing like because the Rambam doesn't qualify that you have to be in full gear. He says if you wear this type of clothing or that type of clothing or that, so it sounds like you don't have to be fully dressed up in the other gender's clothing, and it's still going to be an issur. Why would the Rambam pass on the Reb Elazar ben Yaakov against the sheet of the Chum? The Chum would seem to be the majority opinion. So the Gemara in Gittin Daf Samach Zayin tells us Mishnas Reb Elazar ben Yaakov Kav Vinaki, that Reb Elazar ben Yaakov only spoke in a few select places in Mishnayos, and the reason he didn't speak up very much is that he was always very particular to make sure that he knew exactly what the halacha is in each time that he spoke. So the Mishnah of Reb Elazar ben Yaakov is kav, it's a small measure, v'naki, but it's so clear, it's so perfect, and that's why we paskin like Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. In fact, the Yoreim and Simen Sadivav also paskins like Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. There is some discussion as to whether we say Mishnah of Reb Elazar ben Yaakov kav Nucky even on Brysos or only on Mishnayos, because this machlokas that we're alluding to now is actually machlokas in a Brysa, not in a Mishnah. Rashi in Yevamos Daf Mem Tes and the Rashbam in Babasa Daf Kuf Lamed Ches and the Rash in the first paragraph of Maseches Beitza Siman Zayin say that we say Mishnah Reb Elazar ben Yaakov Kavanaki even by Brysos. However, the Rashba in Chul Daf Samach Dalid quotes a Bali Itur that no, Mishnas Reb Elazar ben Yaakov Kavanaki, but not Brysos Reb Elazar ben Yaakov. And And the Radvaz in Hilchus, I'm not sure where, the Radvaz, Ravad Yosef quotes all the Marmukamos, the Radvaz also paskins this way, that like the Bali Iter, that we only paskin the Rabbos Ben Yaakov in Mishnayis, but not in Brisos. So Rav Avadya in Yechavadas, Chelek Hei, Simon Nun Hei, where he was asked about a woman carrying a handgun for security purposes, Rav Avadya writes that all agree in our case that we paskin the Rabbos Ben Yaakov. In this Sugya Nazir, as far as what's considered Klei Gever, everyone would pass on the Rabbos Ben Yaakov because there's a Targum Onkelos to back him up. The Targum Onkelos says, Lo ye tukun zayin de gever al itza v'li itkun gever b'tukune itza, and the Targum Onkelos never mentions a requirement of the Ish Yoshev Bein Hanashim or the Isha Yoshevis Bein Hanashim. It sounds like it's not only when you sneak into the opposing locker room. The Beis Yosef in Simon Reish Pehei says in the name of the Gaonim that Targum Onkelos is Misinai, that it came from our Sinai, and therefore Targum Onkelos is authoritative, and therefore we paskin like Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov. And Shulchan Aruch Yardeis and Kufpei Beisif Hey, Shulchan Aruch quotes the exact lashon of the Rambam. In fact, in Targum Yonasan ben Uziel on Sefer Shoftim in Perek Hey Pasuk Chavav, it says that when Yael killed Sisera with a tent peg, she chose to use the peg of a tent because she didn't want to use a weapon because it's klei gever. Meaning that we paskin like Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov, that who says that an isha is not allowed to be yotzei lemelchama wearing a weapon. In fact, the Perish Miuchas L'Rashi on Maseches Nazir says the same thing over there in Maseches Nazir. It's Perish Miuchas L'Rashi. If you ever learn Maseches Nazir, the Rashi on the side of the page is an imposter. It's not really Rashi on the side of the page. It's just like in Maseches Nedarim, we don't have Rashi. Maseches Nazir, we don't have Rashi either. That's what Rav Soloveitchik explained in the Kinos. In one of the Kinos we say on Tisha B'Av for the Balei HaTosfos, we lament something like that. So he says, what are we so worried about that we can't find someone to do Ataras Nedarim for us? You can have three Adiotas do Ataras Nedarim. Take three Bar Mitzvah boys in Shul and Erev Yom Kippur, they could do Ataras Nedarim. So we're lamenting that we don't have anyone to do Ataras Nedarim. He says, no, they're speaking poetically that it's Nedarim and Nazir, they don't have a Rashi, so we need the Balei HaTosfos more than ever. So in the loss of the Balei HaTosfos, is saying, who's going to open up Maseches Nedarim and Maseches Nazir for us? That's what the Kina is describing. So anyway, so the Mefarish HaMaseches Nazir, not Rashi, whoever it is, the Mefarish HaMaseches Nazir says like that also, that Yael Dafka used the tent peg because she didn't want to use a weapon. So far what we have is that there's an Isser for women to use weapons, right? So what are the exceptions to the Isser? So exception number one, Rav Avadya Yosef points out in that Shuvin Yechav Daske L'Kesim and Hey, that obviously Ein Dovara Omid B'fnei Pikuach Nefesh, that if it's a security risk, the fact that Yael chose a tent peg, that's not a raya, even though it was pikuach nefesh. That's because Sisera was sleeping, so she could have used anything and it would have been just as effective. But if you need a real weapon in order to protect yourself, and it's a mamash pikuach nefesh situation, there's no doubt that one is allowed to violate this halacha. It's interesting, the Tshuva Saselecha Rav, Chelkim L'Simon Chavdalid, he only allows when there's a specific threat, but not just for general protection. I mean, let's say Stam, a woman is just nervous. She doesn't, you know, so much anti-Semitism in the world, and you never know, and she's just Stam nervous about walking alone at night, but there's no particular threat, so he's not as keen on allowing women to carry weapons. Rav Moshe adds that when the need is self-defense, then it's not even klei gever. Rav Moshe goes in the opposite direction to be even more makel. He says, if you're using it for self-defense, that's not klei gever. Meaning, why is it, what does the Gemara say, what does Rav Elazar ben Yaakov say, that a woman shouldn't be yotzei l'melchama with klei zayin, because it's darka shalish lasos melchama, it's not darka shalisha lasos melchama. It's not the women are not don't go to war, but women do protect themselves. They also need to have self-defense. That's universal to all people, to have self-protection, and therefore Moshe thinks that that's enough reason to be mekil. The Bach in Simon Kuf Pei Beis has another exception, that it's only a problem if it's worn as a kishut, as some type of adornment, which implies that if you aren't wearing it, you're just holding it momentarily, then it's not a problem. In fact, the Binas Adam qualifies the Bach that there's a difference between a malbush and a tachshit. When it comes to a malbush, to actual clothing, the isser is very broad and includes even when you're wearing it for a purpose. Whereas a tachshit is only problematic when it's lenoi, when you're dafka doing it for the look of it. That's why the Rambam discusses wearing armor as opposed to carrying a knife, because a sword is a tachshit. Armor is clothing. So armor is going to be a much broader isser than carrying a knife, than carrying a sword. That's not going to be a problem when you're doing it for other purposes and not dafka to project a masculine image. In fact, the Taz in Kuf Pei Beis Sivkat and Dalid writes that even when the item is a noy or a tachshit, if you're wearing it for a practical benefit, like to protect from the rain, it's mutter. Like, let's say it is a very nice piece of clothing. It's a pink raincoat, and it's in one of those summer camp rains, you know, like when it rains like crazy, where if you're outside for like a second, it's as if you jumped in the pool. So the only available raincoat is your wife's sister's daughter's pink raincoat. So you could put it over, you could wear that also if that's what you need to protect you from the rain, says the Taz. So the in the Yad HaKetana on page Reish Ayin Tes Amud Beis, he rejects both the Bach and the Taz because he says it's like a Dorshein Meskavin B'Psik Reish. What do you mean? Because I'm not having Kavana to look like a man or a woman, you know, to look like the opposite gender, so therefore it's okay? That's a Dorshein Meskavin. Dorshein Meskavin is normally Mutter, but it's P'sik Reish that you're going to be dressed in a man or a woman's clothing, the opposite gender's clothing. So isn't that a P'sik Reish? Shouldn't it be Yasser? So even though you're intending L'Shem Kishut, you're still violating the Isser. So in the Chuvas Maram Shik in Yerodeus from Kufayim Gimel, he explains that by this Isser, the Pasuk specifically concludes that Ki Toavas Hashem Elokecha Kol Osa Ela, implying that the Torah only forbids when you're actually attempting to perpetrate a Toeva, like dressing like the opposite gender. In fact, there's another Kula, the Ibn Ezra and the Chizkuni say that the Isser only applies to going out to war, or at least to weapons that are used in war. And this Rav Moshe writes in Orach Chaim Midaitei, I don't think he quotes the Ibn Ezra, but in Rav Moshe in Orach Chaim Chelek Dal Siman Ayin Hei Os Gimel, was asked by Rav Shabtai Rappaport about women in Gush Etzion who want to carry weapons for protection, otherwise they're not going to be able to leave their neighborhoods, they're going to be much more limited in their mobility. So Rav Moshe writes in that tshuva that the types of weapons that people carry on their person as a protection for themselves are not the same types of weapons that are used in war. You don't have soldiers carrying small handguns. Soldiers carry large guns. The small handguns, those aren't klei gever b'chlal. So that's what Moshe was making in that situation. So it seems that there are a number of reasons to allow the fellow to take the girl to a shooting range. First of all, how could you marry a girl if you don't know if she's a good shot, right? So there are a couple of reasons to be making. Number one, she's not wearing anything. She's shooting the gun. She's not walking around with it as a tachshit that would be worn l'noi to give off the impression, a more masculine impression. And second of all, the type of gun that you use at a shooting range is not the type of weapon that's used at war anyway. So although you don't have the self-defense and security over here, although I guess if she plans on moving to a dangerous neighborhood, maybe it's important to get training, right? Obviously, a woman doesn't have to wait till she's in such a situation. She needs to get training in advance before she carries a weapon. But it seems even if this is just stam as an enjoyable activity, l'chora it would be mutter. I would think l'nias daiti. I would think it would be mutter given those factors. Okay, and the same with axe throwing. Axe throwing is not even a weapon. It's not klei milchama. If you're going out to war using axes, you're going to lose, right? It's not a way to fight a war. So axe throwing, I think, would be fine as well. Okay, everyone, have a wonderful day.